evening, but in to have the Hispanic ministry here and the support that has been given to us. Agradecemos a la iglesia y el pastor por la oportunidad no solo de convivir juntos esta noche, pero también de que nos tengan aquí y nos prestan el lugar para nuestros servicios y nos reciben con ese amor, esa amabilidad. Estamos agradecidos. We're so thankful for your kindness, and I hope you won't grow bored or impatient as we go through both languages. Espero que no te enfades mientras hablamos en los dos idiomas. I would encourage you to see how much you can pick up from the other language. Te animo que a ver cuánto puedes agarrar y entender del otro idioma. One of the ways my wife learned more English was hearing messages translated from English into Spanish. Una de las maneras que mi esposa aprendió más inglés fue escuchar mensajes predicados en inglés y traducidos al español. By the way, she sends her greetings. She is in Mexico having dental work done. I think she's been to the dentist about 5 times. Ella manda saludos. Está en México todavía haciendo trabajo con el dentista. Creo que la ha visto al dentista como cinco veces ya, por lo menos. This week is actually a blessing that she was there because her niece, first her sister was in the emergency room last weekend, and she was able to help there. Then she's back and she's okay. And then her sister's daughter came down with severe pain in the abdomen, stones in her gallbladder, had an emergency operation. They didn't have the money for that, and so our being there allowed for us to help for her to have that operation. And the Lord provided because we had the whole operation done for $378, if you can believe that. So the Lord is good in that way. Fue de bendición que Lourdes haya estado ahí esta semana porque estando ahí su hermana tuvo que ir a urgencias, pudo ayudarle, ahora está bien. Luego la hija de su hermana, su sobrina, tuvo operación de urgente de piedras en la vesícula. Y no tenían cómo pagar y pudimos ayudar nosotros. Y solamente costó $378. Allá mucho descuento. Y Dios proveyó y mi esposa estuvo ayudando. So my wife was able to help. And, you know, for such a time as this, she was there. And so God was good. So I'd like to invite you this evening to turn to a passage in the book of Genesis. Quisiera invitarles que busquen en sus Biblias esta noche pasaje en el libro de Génesis. Now this passage includes the attempt by Sarah to fulfill God's purpose and plan through her own efforts. Este pasaje incluye el intento de Sarai, de quien estudiamos hace algunas semanas, que recibió por fe el tener el hijo que Dios prometió. Pero intenta hacer la voluntad de Dios a través de sus propios esfuerzos. And so there's a somewhat uncomfortable moment, perhaps, in the passage. Entonces hay una situación tal vez un poco incómoda. But we want to see what the Word of God teaches us here. Queremos ver lo que la Palabra de Dios nos enseña. This week, as I was reading the Scripture, the Lord really drew my attention to part of verse 8. Al leer las Escrituras esta semana, el Señor realmente trajo mi atención al versículo 8. It says there, the Lord has found Hagar, who's running from her mistress, from Sarah, because she was mistreated. And the Lord finds her. And the Lord shows his concern and care for her, even as she is running in this rebellion. El Señor encuentra a Agar, que es sierva de Sarai, que está huyendo de Sarai, Sara, la esposa de Abraham, porque siente que le ha maltratado Sarai. Pero el Señor le encuentra ahí, aún a pesar de su rebelión. And the Lord shows to her such care and such grace. Even as an Egyptian servant running away from her master. Aún como sierva egipcia huyendo de su ama. El Señor le muestra tal gracia y tal cuidado. But the question that he asks her just really kind of stuck out to me. Pero la pregunta que Dios le hizo, y Dios le habló, God speaks to her in his care. Dios le habla a ella. This is not something that he would do in an audible voice today, but he did then. Now it's recorded for us in Scripture. No es algo que Dios haría en voz audible hoy en día, pero lo hizo en aquel entonces y ahora está aquí para nosotros en la Escritura. And notice verse 8. See what, vamos a ver versículo 8. And he said, Hagar, this is the Lord speaking, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou? And whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress, Sarai. Versículo 8, y le dijo a Agar, sierva de Sarai, ¿de dónde vienes tú? ¿Y a dónde vas? Y ella respondió, huyo de delante de Sarai, mi señora. What a question. Where are you coming from, Hagar? Where are you coming from? And where are you going? Where will you go? And it's almost as if it stops her right in her tracks. It makes her think, where did I come from? What did I leave? What am I leaving behind? And where will I go? Surely she was brought to conviction to consider and think, and I think the passage bears that out. Ahí, ¿qué pregunta le hace el Señor a Sarai? Versículo 8 decía, ¿de dónde vienes? ¿Y a dónde vas? Y le hace el Señor recapacitar, oiga, en verdad, ¿de dónde vienes? ¿De qué estás dejando atrás? ¿De dónde huyes? ¿Y qué estás abandonando en tu afán de huir y escapar de esta molestia? ¿Dónde vas? ¿A dónde irás? ¿Y qué vas a hacer? And what a question for us to consider in the middle of decisions that we make, or when we're tempted in the middle of difficult situations to react to a difficult situation that is just hard. ¿Qué pregunta más buena para nosotros pensar y considerar cuando estamos medio de una situación difícil, que nos disgusta, que es de aflicción, y somos tentados a reaccionar, a nomás a correr, a dejar, a escapar, huir? ¿Qué pregunta? ¿De dónde vienes? ¿Y a dónde vas? So we're oftentimes just so moved to just get away from what irritates, what is bothering us, whatever that is. We want to just get away. Just not be bothered anymore. And so we're going to get out of there. And oftentimes that's when we make the worst decisions and leave what God has for us, and lose the lessons God has for us. Muchas veces cuando queremos huir, como sea, simplemente para dejar ese problema, eso es cuando hacemos las peores decisiones. Y cuando nos metemos en problemas y perdemos el lugar que Dios tenía para nosotros y perdemos lo que Dios nos quería enseñar. Así que, let's look back for just a moment at the context. Vamos a ver atrás un poquito para ver el contexto. Verse 1 says, Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian whose name was Hagar. Versículo 1, Sarai, mujer de Abraham, no le daba hijos, y ella tenía una sierva egipcia que se llamaba Agar. Of course, we know now, by this time, God has promised that he will, that Abraham and his wife Sarah will have an heir, and that through this heir, God will bless the entire earth, the entire world. Sabemos a estas alturas que Dios le ha prometido a Abraham y a Sarai tener hijo. A través de su hijo y su descendencia, Dios va a bendecir el mundo entero. God has promised that through his line, the Messiah, the Savior, will come. Dios ha prometido que a través de su linaje vendrá el Salvador, el Mesías. So this cannot fail. God has promised. And his entire purpose for the salvation of the world will be accomplished through this. Esto no puede fallar. Dios ha prometido y el plan de Dios para la salvación del mundo entero tendrá que llevarse a cabo a través de esto, porque Dios ha prometido que Jesucristo viene a través de este linaje. Tiene que venir. Tiene que suceder. But it has been at least 10 years. Han pasado por lo menos 10 años. 10 years. And as many of us can attest here, Sarah's not getting younger. Sarai no se está rejuveneciendo como muchos de nosotros podemos también dar testimonio. And every year that passes, every birthday is just another cringe in Sarah's mindset. When, Lord? I don't know if I could handle being pregnant anymore. Cada vez que cumple otro año Sarai, otra vez está pensando, otro año más, y como que le da cosa cada vez que cumple años. And 10 years have gone by, 10 long years. 10 años han pasado y todavía no ve la promesa de Dios. They still don't see God doing what he promised. Although God is faithful, God will do it. God's character is proven it will, but still, 10 years. Dios va a cumplir, él es fiel, pero son 10 años que han pasado. Entonces, versículo 2, so then verse 2, and Sarai said unto Abram, Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. Notice the way she says that. Mira, versículo 2, dijo entonces Sarai a Abraham, Ya ves que Jehová me ha hecho estéril. Now God's the one who's promised, but this is really on God. She says, the Lord has restrained me from bearing. We say those kind of things when we want to justify what we're about to do. Decimos esas cosas cuando queremos justificar lo que estamos a punto de hacer. ¿Es culpa de Dios? Mire, Dios me ha dejado mal. Dios no me ha cumplido. Por lo tanto, lo que voy a hacer es justificado. Puedo hacerlo. And she goes on, pues que te llegues a mi sierva, quizá tendré hijas de ella. English says, The Lord, behold, the Lord has restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And so she proposes a surrogate mother so she can have children. Entonces, Agar sugiere tener una madre suplente que tenga hijo por ella. And Abraham, who could have taught her here, could have clarified this, goes along. And y Abraham, que hubiera explicado y enseñado aquí otra cosa, se pone de acuerdo. Y atendió Abraham el ruego de Sarai, and Abraham hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And so verse 3, and Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, maid of the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. Sarai, versículo 3, mujer de Abraham, tomó Hagar, su sierva egipcia, al cabo de 10 años, que había habitado Abraham en la tierra de Canaán, y la dio por mujer a Abraham, su marido. Y él se llegó a Agar, la cual concibió, y cuando vio que había concebido, miraba con desprecio a su señora. And so he went into her, verse 4, he went into Hagar, and she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And so every time you act according to the flesh, then you get the fruit or the works of the flesh, which is this pride. And now she's putting herself above her mistress. She's despising her because she is with child. Cada vez que se obra según la carne, según el yo, según esa humanidad nuestra, el resultado va a ser orgullo. Porque ahora está menospreciando a su ama, sintiéndose mejor que su ama. And Sarai is probably at this point jealous and probably ashamed at the same time, perhaps, and thinking this was a mistake. So she comes to Abram, verse 5, Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee, I have given my maid unto thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. Y Sarai ahora tal vez tiene pena, tiene vergüenza, tiene remordimiento de conciencia por haber hecho esto, se siente mal. Y ahora culpa a su esposo, versículo 5. Entonces Sarai dijo a Abraham, mi afrenta sea sobre ti. Yo te di mi sierva por mujer, y viéndose encinta, me mira con desprecio. Juzgue Jehová entre tú y yo. And so now, up to this point, Sarai has, as she's gotten into this desperate attempt to carry out what God promised to do in her own effort, it's led her now, by this point she has blamed the Lord. And now she's blaming Hagar, and she's also blaming Abram. The Lord judge between me and you. Look what you did. Look what you did. En este intento de llevar a cabo lo que Dios prometió hacer, Sarai intenta hacerlo por su propio esfuerzo, por su propia habilidad. No deja que Dios lo haga. Ella intenta por su cuenta hacerlo. Y el resultado es, ahora a estas alturas, ha culpado al Señor, porque él no le permitió tener, ha culpado a Agar porque le está menospreciando, y ahora está culpando a su marido. Así cuando hacemos las cosas a nuestra manera, muchas veces resultan. And so when we attempt to do what only the Lord can do, in our own effort, in our own attempts, this kind of result is always going to come about. That's what happens. And we do this so much because we're not willing to wait on the Lord for His time and His way. Y hacemos esto tantas veces porque no estamos dispuestos a esperar en Dios en su tiempo, a su manera. Cuando Él quiere, Él lo va a hacer, y no queremos esperar. Entonces nos metemos en líos tantas veces. And so Abraham responds and says, okay, I'm out of this situation here. I'm, you just count me out. She's your servant. You do with her whatever you want to do. Probably not the best either, but verse 6. But Abraham said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. Whatever you want to do, I'm out of this. This thing between women, it's too much for us men. We can't, we're out of here, Abraham le dice a Sarai, mire, haz lo que tú quieres, yo me salgo de aquí, porque este asunto de entre mujeres, los hombres más vale que nos sacamos de ahí, porque eso es asunto que no se puede nadie entre dos mujeres. Y versículo 6, respondió Abraham a Sarai, he aquí tu sierva está en tu mano, haz con ella lo que bien te parezca. And so, Sarai is going to deal in a hard manner with her servant. And frankly, perhaps this is what she needed. I think it's what she needed because of the pride with which she'd exalted herself already. Who knows in what manner Sarah did this? But it was hard. The end of verse 6, and when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. Entonces Sarai va a afligir Agar, probablemente lo merece, pues se ha enaltecido con su orgullo, y ahora Sarai la está afligiendo, y versículo 6 termina diciendo, y como Sarai la afligía, ella huyó de su presencia. Now, this is when we get back to where the Lord comes in and intervenes. And boy, it's so good when the Lord comes in. You know, things just are made right when God comes in. It's, you know, one of my favorite verses and phrases in the scripture. It's like in Ephesians, it talks about how we had sinned and were children of disobedience and had ran in the course of this world. And then all this sin and wickedness and dead and trespasses and sin. And then verse 4 comes in and it says, but God. Isn't that so beautiful? God is so merciful and gracious. And comes in to do what we cannot do and fix what we have messed up. We just give place to God, and God comes in. Lo que va a pasar enseguida ahora es cuando Dios interviene. Y cuando Dios interviene, ahora sí, las cosas se ponen bien. Él es quien puede arreglar las cosas. A mí me encanta ver cuando nosotros en nuestros pecados y desastres y líos y echando a perder nuestras relaciones, y Dios interviene, y Dios pone bien las cosas, porque cuando simplemente entregamos las cosas en sus manos, Él cambia todo. Todo se pone bien. Y eso es la diferencia, y lo vamos a ver aquí. Because there, now, Hagar is running from the presence, from the face. She's probably never seen this in her mistress before. Sarai has probably been a very gracious mistress up to this point. And Abram and Sarah, they're men and women who know God, and they walk in a good way until this. But now she can't handle this situation with her mistress, and she said, I'm out of here. I'm leaving. She runs. Ahora, Agar va a huir porque nunca ha visto este maltrato de parte de su señora, y han sido gente buena, conocen a Dios, muy, muy amable hasta este punto, pero ahora va a huir porque no aguanta el maltrato que está recibiendo, no conoce esto en su señora. And so she's running in the desert. And this is literally in the desert. Está huyendo en el desierto, literalmente en el desierto. And this is such a powerful picture for us because, frankly, maybe we're here in Colorado, but we're running into a desert ourselves when we do this kind of thing. Está literalmente corriendo al desierto. Y viven en el desierto y va al desierto donde no hay nada. Tal vez vivimos aquí en Colorado, pero cuando huimos de nuestras situaciones, estamos corriendo al desierto, aunque vivamos aquí en Colorado, porque es un desierto espiritual. It's a spiritual desert we're running into. And God is so gracious and good to us if we're willing to hear His voice. Because verse 7 says, and the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou? And whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And in a sense, almost trying to justify that she's fleeing. Y versículo 7 y 8, entonces la halló el ángel de Jehová junto a una fuente de agua en el desierto, junte a la fuente que está en el camino de Shur. Y le dijo a Agar, sierva de Sarai, ¿de dónde vienes tú y a dónde vas? Y ella respondió, huyo de delante de Sarai, mi señora. Y tal vez lo quiere justificar. Le había maltratado Sarai. Estoy huyendo, pues me maltrató, me trató mal, estoy huyendo. Pero the one who is speaking here is literally the Lord. It's the angel of the Lord, which we understand to be the Lord himself. Whenever you see in the scripture the angel of the Lord, that is the Lord Jesus. The Micah, that prophecy that we cite at Christmas time, says his goings forth are from eternity. He has gone forth in many occasions among his people. Here he is. What graciousness. Because she is a servant from the one he has promised to bless. So he will not let even her be lost. It goes for her as well. And he says to her, Where are you coming from? Señor, en su gracia, no permite que Agar se pierda porque viene de la casa de Abraham, a quien Dios ha prometido bendecir. Así que, en su fidelidad, Dios no permite que se pierda Agar. And he says, where are you coming from? Think about what you're leaving. You're leaving the house of the one that I have promised to bless, in whom all the nations of the world will be blessed. And you are leaving that house. I think it would do us well if Christian young people would understand before they decide to run off to find what seems to be so attractive in the illusions of the world. Where are you going? What are you leaving behind? Oh, if you knew what you're leaving behind. I have to say, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. And when I saw young people in my church who grew up in a Christian home and who despised or who were fed up with being in a Christian home, I thought, you have no idea. You don't understand. But you are missing. You know, I wish I had what you had. I wish I had those blessings. I wish I had a father who prayed for me. I wish I had a mother who would take me to church. I wish I had that. I never had that. I wish I had a dad who would lead us in prayer there at home and at even at mealtimes. That would be enough. Boy, and yet we are so focused on the world and its false images and its illusions that we think, I'm going to go get that. What are you leaving behind? Where do you come from? And where will you go? It's like Peter said. When his disciples began to leave, Peter said, and Jesus says, will you also leave? And Peter said, I love his answer. He said, Lord, to whom will we go? You have the words of eternal life. Se me olvidó dónde estaba, perdón, pero el sentir del Señor cuando pregunta, ¿qué estás dejando atrás? ¿De dónde vienes? ¿Está dejando Agar el hogar de aquel que Dios había bendecido y prometió bendecir infinitamente? ¿Está dejando la bendición de Dios en su hogar? Lo que Dios le había dado y lo está dejando. Okay, los jóvenes cristianos hoy en día, los jóvenes que tienen padres cristianos, entendieran lo que tienen. Porque son tentados a dejar esa fe, ir a la iglesia de sus padres que los aman y que los quieren inculcar en lo precioso que es de Dios. Yo quisiera haber tenido eso, porque yo nací en hogar no cristiano y mi padre no oró por nosotros y mi mamá no nos llevó a la iglesia. Yo quisiera haber tenido eso. Ojalá, ¿cómo deseara eso? Y cuando yo veía cristianos que menospreciaban eso, jóvenes que menospreciaban eso, yo decía, no sabes lo que estás menospreciando, no sabes lo que tienes. Padre que ora por ti, madre que se preocupa en las cosas de Dios, no, tú no sabes lo que estás perdiendo. Y ahí lo falso que el mundo te quiere presentar y quieres ir tras eso, mucho cuidado. Es como dice, ¿de dónde vienes? ¿De dónde vienes? ¿Qué estás dejando? Y luego, ¿dónde irás? ¿A dónde vas? But it's not just Christian young people who are tempted this way. It's all of us. We're all tempted that way. Oh man, I've had enough of this. I don't want more of this. We come into difficult moments, family, health, finances, work, whatever it be. And we say, man, I've had enough of this. I'm going to stop going to church for a while. Just get my head right. Whatever we think. Oh boy. But you see, we're losing the lessons that God has for us. Because God has brought us to that point to teach us. Hagar needed to be humbled. She needed that. Needed to humble herself. God would bless her. Now later on down the road, God would himself say it was time for Hagar to leave. The time would come. But after the child had been born and grown, where would she go when she's pregnant in the wilderness? A lady by herself in the wilderness? The danger, the situation there. We get ourselves, because we're independent and think we can do it on our own, we get ourselves into such dangerous situations. Sarai, embarazada, va al desierto. ¿Y a dónde va a ir? Una mujer sola en el desierto y le encuentran vagabundos, le encuentran los que pasan por allí, ¿cómo le van a tratar? ¿Encinta? ¿Quién le va a ayudar en el parto? ¿Y quién le va a cuidar? ¿Y dónde está la protección? El punto es que perdemos mucha bendición y protección cuando vamos del lugar que Dios nos dio. We lose so much of what God has given to us and what God wants to teach us. Dios le quería enseñar lo que ella necesitaba aprender y iba a perder esa lección. So his answer to her is, after he causes her to think, then he says to her then in verse 9, the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress, submit thyself under her hands. But this is the one that's been afflicting her. This is the one that's been dealing hard with her. But God says, I was going to read it in English and I've only got it in Spanish. I'm sorry. The principle is if the spirit of the prince exalts against you, don't leave your place. Because with meekness, you can make great offenses to cease. Don't leave your place. You will never go any place where the people that are there will not have some moment when they get angry or upset or frustrated or there's always going to be, because we deal with people. People are people and we all sin. It doesn't matter what authority or what parents or what situation, there's always going to be a bad moment. It's always going to be. You can ask my son. There's been some bad moments and he still hasn't left. Praise the Lord. He's still there. And I'm not trying to rush him out either. Tenemos que entender, Dios le manda aquí a Sarai en versículo 9, le dijo el ángel de Jehová, vuélvate a tu señora y ponte sumisa bajo su mano, que vuelva con la que le había afligido, que le estaba tratando mal. Pero necesitamos entender primero que, mire, donde quiera que vayamos, la gente con que estemos van a tener malos momentos, van a tener sus arranques, van a tener sus, no importa los padres que sean, el jefe que tengas, siempre va a haber un momento mal. Siempre va a haber, porque somos gente que somos pecadores. No por eso debes dejar el lugar. La Biblia dice, si el espíritu del príncipe se exaltare contra ti, no dejes tu lugar, porque la mansedumbre hará cesar grandes ofensas. Hemos de más bien quedar donde Dios nos puso. We need to stay where God has put us, unless God is leading us out. Not because we are frustrated or we're tired or we're having a bad day do we run. We stay where God's placed us. Quedamos donde Dios nos puso. Porque Dios nos puso con propósito. He's placed us there with a purpose. And there's lessons for us to learn for life that we have to learn from those people where we are because He knows He's in control and He's placed us there. That's for our good. So many people today, they shop churches. You know, it's like we have this market mentality. You know, I don't like the way that you know Pastor Jono didn't run up to me and shake my hand like he usually does today. So I'm leaving. You know, and we just jumped from church to church. I'm not saying you do. You're here. That's great. But others, many people, they just jump, go, because they don't like things. And they're looking for something that, the perfect church. And you know what? Not until we get to heaven. So we stay where God's put us. You bloom where God has planted you. Quedamos donde Dios nos puso. La gente cambia de iglesia, quieren cambiar de familia, quieren cambiar de esposo, quieren cambiar de todo, de trabajo, cada rato. Y quedamos donde Dios nos puso hasta que Dios nos mueve. Bueno, in order our time's gone, we need to finish, and there's much more we could say, but the next few verses, God promises that He will bless the child. Siguientes versículos tenemos que terminar, pero Dios promete que Él va a bendecir a este hijo. Que va a llegar a ser grande nación. Que He will become a great nation also. And so He gives her hope, le da esperanza. And she realizes that God is being merciful to her to stop her before she goes into this terrible, what would destroy her life and probably lose the life of the child as well. En su misericordia, Dios le para a la mujer antes que pierda su vida y la vida del niño. Y Dios le para. Dios le regresa. And then he says, she says, in verse 13, she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Versículo 13, ella, Agar, dice en respuesta, entonces llamó al nombre de Jehová que con ella hablaba, tú eres Dios que ve, tú eres Dios que ve, porque dijo, no he visto también aquí al que me ve. And so the whole heart and attitude has changed. Now, ahora ha cambiado todo el sentir de ella. And she says, Lord, God, You see me. You see my situation. You know my conflicts. You know what I'm struggling with. You know that I was afflicted. You see me. You know me. You know my situation. And you want me to go back. And she does. And God blesses her. And we have no record that Sarah ever afflicted her again. God's faithful. Now, the situation you may be in, it may be tough. And you're telling about a friend of his who recently just left because her father's very rough on her. And she left. She's struggling. And it's not a good situation, but he's her father. And God would teach her, and God could use her in the life of her father if she would yield to the Lord. Agar reconoce y le dice, tú eres Dios que ve. Eso cambia todo. Ahora ha entendido, Dios conoce, Dios me ve a mí, Dios conoce mi situación, conoce mis problemas, entiende mi aflicción. Él ha visto cómo mi Señora me trató, Él conoce estas cosas y Él sabe con qué está batallando y aún así Él me hace volver a donde estaba antes. Y Él cuida de mí, Él mira, yo puedo confiar porque Él me ve. Y no tenemos entonces ya que ella sí regresó, volvió a donde estaba y tuvo la protección, tuvo la ayuda para el parto, tuvo la provisión, el alimento, la tienda en donde vivir, todo lo que ocupaba, Dios le dio. Y no tenemos ningún récord que Sara volvió a afligirla, que su señora le volvió a maltratar. No hay ninguna indicación, pues Dios es fiel. Ahora, hay situaciones en la vida que tal vez sean difíciles y tenemos que esperar en Dios y soportar. Andrew me contó esta mañana de una amiga que huyó del hogar de donde fue criado, de su casa, dejó porque su padre es muy estricto, muy duro con ella. Y es difícil y no se justifica al padre, pero es su padre. Y Dios le puso ahí. Y es más, Dios puede obrar en el corazón de su padre si ella permite que Dios obre en ella, si ella se somete a Dios. Dios no quiere que vayamos de donde Él nos puso, hasta que Él nos lleva, porque va a llegar el tiempo que Dios nos lleva. Pero esperamos el tiempo de Dios. God does not want us to leave the place in which He's placed us until He shows us to leave, and He would do that for Hagar later on. The time would come. He would say, 13 years later, it would happen. But it's when He says, not when we say. Bueno, que Dios nos bendiga. Gracias, hermanos, por su paciencia, por venir hoy. Thank you for your good attention. May the Lord teach us through this. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father, for this example of Hagar and for your grace, your mercy. You're working there to turn her around and for causing her to see that you are a God who sees us. Gracias, Padre, por este ejemplo de Agar y lo que tu intervención y tu misericordia y que tú nos enseñes que eres Dios que nos ves. Danos, Señor, de recordar que tú nos quieres enseñar en la situación en que estamos. Y que tú nos ves en esa situación y tú conoces. Y podemos confiar en ti. Cause us to see, Lord, that you see us in the situation we're in. And you have lessons for us to learn. But you know what we're going through. And it's with your grace and your purpose that you've placed us there. Give us grace, Lord, to lay hold of those lessons and lay hold of the truth that you see us and you know us. Help us, Father. Bless, bendice, Padre, que podamos echar mano de que tú nos ves y tú conoces y tú estás con nosotros y tú puedes obrar en nuestra situación si te damos lugar, si esperamos en ti, that you can work in our situation as we trust and wait on you. Bless, we pray. Bendice, te pedimos. En nombre de Cristo.